A senior World Economic Forum advisor has repeatedly announced that the global elites see billions of people as being completely useless, worthless, meaningless, and lower than slaves. Also, did Bill Gates actually say in his TED Talk that if they do a really good job, they're going to depopulate humanity by 1.3 billion? Stick around and find out. Welcome to the Superhuman Movement with me, James McNeil. Every single episode inspires the superhero within you to create your best possible life, your best self, and the best world. Well, welcome to the first ever episode of the Superhuman Movement with me, James McNeil. And this podcast is for those of you who see the darkness and choose the light. It's one thing to be caught up in conspiracy theories to hear that there's a they and they want to kill us all or control us all or enslave us all or whatever, poison us all. And I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's not true. What I am saying is it's time to look at the facts as much as we can and to not look at them in a way of fear or hatred or anything like that, merely to say what's true and what can we do about it? What is the best possible version of me? What is the best possible version of us? And how can we reclaim the highest and best of humanity? Again, welcome. Today's episode is What is So Super About Humans? Might as well start there, right? And there is a lot of conspiracy theory around movement to depopulate. Now, when we say depopulate, it's reasonable to say, how do you do that? Does that mean wars, famine? Does that mean keeping people from having babies one way or another? What is it that depopulation means? Well, we're going to take a look at that. And we're going to take a look at why is it that these conspiracy theories seem to be alive and well when we talk about depopulation. Why would anyone want to do that, right? So if there was a group of global elites, a cabal, if you will, in partnership with the World Banking cabal, right? So the World Banking cartel. And if that's true, if all of that is true, then why would they want to depopulate? And a simple answer would be, if you were a slave owner, let's say, and you had too many slaves and they're too healthy and strong, they might turn on you. Does that make sense? So if you're enslaving a population, there's only so many healthy slaves you can control and handle. So if there was such a thing, then it could make sense that they would want to depopulate or control the number of human beings. And we're going to look at the reason people believe that, whistleblowers and otherwise. And we're going to look at the climate crisis. Is it a hoax? Is it real? And more importantly today, I want to talk about, before I get into all of that, I just want to remind you how special we are as human beings. So the first thing I want to do is talk about what's so special about human beings in and of ourselves. And it's a big deal. So I'm going to ask you to strap your thinking cap on as I talk about just how big and old the universe is and what a big deal humanity is inside of this giant cold darkness. All right, let's begin. What's so special about human beings? First of all, we're pretty freaking rare. Let's start with the fact that so far as we know, there is no other life outside of the life forms on Earth. Now, there are speculations, there's conspiracy theories, some people think that, but there's no agreed upon proof that there's any form of life, even an amoeba, even a, you know, an insect on any other planet. So let's talk about how big and old the universe is and what a big deal it is that we are here. So let's start with this. The universe is 13.8 billion years old. And because I'm going to start talking about billions and trillions and millions and these words sound the same, but they're very, very different. So I want to give you a sense of how different these words are. So just follow me here. A million seconds. How long is that? A million seconds is actually 11 days, 11 and a half days. So a million seconds is less than 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. So the difference between million and billion is pretty substantial. So again, a million seconds is under 12 days. Billion seconds, 32 years. Now, a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. So you can get now, hopefully, a bit of scale. What's the difference between million, billion, and trillion? 11 days or 12 days, 32 years or 32,000 years. So when I say it's the universe is 13.8 billion years old, and you realize that a billion seconds is 32 years, you get an idea of just how old the universe is. So that's one thing. It's an old universe. Second, the number of galaxies, let's do that. The number of galaxies. So galaxies have, on average, 200 billion stars in them. And each star has, I don't know how many planets or whatever, moons and so on. There are 2 trillion galaxies. And when I asked the AI, you know, all the research tools of the Earth, how many stars are there? They said there's 200 billion trillion. I can't wrap my head around these kinds of things. 200 billion trillion stars. Each star has a certain number of planets. Now, hopefully that'll give you an idea of the scale of the universe, how big it is, how long it's been around. And again, there's no life detected anywhere in this vast cold darkness except here on Earth. Earth is said to be 4.5 billion years old, and the guesstimate is 3.8 billion years ago, life was found on Earth. So it took a long time in this universe for any life to come to appear. Next, as far as Homo sapiens, or the earliest version, whatever you would want to call that, that's 300,000 years old. So our earlier versions of our species is 300,000 years old. Our recorded history is 5,500 years. So if it took from 300,000 years ago to 5,000 years ago for recorded history, what that means is we started doing things that were trackable in a unique sense of consciousness only 5,500 years ago. So what makes us what we are today, our consciousness, may be somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 years old, which is nothing in the 13.8 billion years. So the species, our species, with our mind, body, spirit, consciousness, may be under 10,000 years old. And I suspect it is exactly that. So that's a pretty big deal. In this vast universe, we are the flicker of light. I think that's an Elon Musk term. We're a flicker of light, a candle flickering in the wind in a vast, cold darkness. So humanity is a really big deal. So when we talk about, oh, let's just depopulate, wars only kill millions of people. I really want us to get a sense of just how special we are and what a big deal we are. Therefore, respecting human life. I believe anything that is anti-human is not holy. I would say that if there is evil, and I believe there is, it would hate humanity because we're the greatest of all creation. And if there is a God, and I believe there is, God loves us dearly. So the only way to hurt God is to hurt us. And there's people who want to devalue us and say it's okay if billions of people die. So I want to start with humans are a big deal, and you and I are a big deal, and we're very special, and there's nothing like us in the universe so far as we know. And I love the sci-fi movies, but so far as we know. So what makes us special? Well, we're not mammals. We're going to get more into this when we talk about how can a human be a superhuman. But we're not like other mammals. We're characterized as a mammal, but we have mind, body, and spirit. We're extremely different than the whales, right? And the monkeys or the dolphins or whatever. We're very, very different. And so we're more than mammal, and we're a big deal. Okay, so that was just, I just wanted to, hit that. Next, I'm sorry I'm wearing glasses. I have all these notes. I'm going to get better at this. But here's this question. How did we, the greatest of all creation and hosts, we are the hosts of the divine spark called our consciousness, at this moment of our greatest breakthroughs of technology, right? Like my phone I can not just talk to someone or text someone. I can have a video call with someone around the world with ease. I can access all of humanity's knowledge through my phone, instead of just watching cat videos, and all kinds of super cool stuff, right? And with AI, we are going to soon crack the code, something that Bill Gates talks about, and I'll refer to it in a few minutes. He talks about we need a miracle, right, for this climate crisis. We need a miracle. Well, that miracle is forthcoming. AI, the speed of breakthroughs of AI, we're going to crack the code on things like solar power. Now, you might say, oh, it doesn't work. Listen, it's en route, right? We're learning. And with the power of AI and the speed of AI's progress, we're going to crack the code at clean, limitless energy. So that's good news. And there's a lot of really smart people who agree. Like, just breathe a second. We're gonna crack the code on this. So good news, we can do this. So how did we, the greatest of all creation, this unique divine spark in the universe, at this moment of our greatest external progress, how did we become so devolved and descended into the feeling, get this, distracted, divided, despondent, drugged, deluded, desperate, and demoralized? Sadly, I think you'd have to agree that's where we are. So that's setting the stage on what is special about humanity. Now we're going to talk about the conspiracy theories, and then I'll jump into how do we ignite what is superhuman. So let's go. Before we get into too deep into the conspiracy theories, I want to say this. We're all brainwashed, and hopefully you can appreciate that. There are powerful machines. Social media is very powerful. Television is very powerful. And these technologies can focus our attention on whatever they want. So if little Johnny hit the ball in T-ball and he's very happy about it, they could simply skew it as child learns violence as he demolishes inanimate object. And so they can spin it to good or evil. They can spin anything any way they want. They can omit, they can make up. In fact, I'm pretty sure, and I'll do this an episode on this, but I'm pretty sure the governments of Canada and the United States over the last 10, 15 years have, get this, legalized lying through the media to the people. It is now legal. They made it legal for them to overtly lie to us. It's legal for them to do that. And then they say, we're cracking down on misinformation and disinformation, but they legalized it for them, which means if I say the sky is blue, they can say, no, it's green, and throw me in jail. Like, you understand? There's some weird stuff going on as far as truth. So without getting into too much of a conspiracy vibe here, I just want to say this. You only know what you've been told, and what you've been told has been filtered and manipulated. So if you, let's say you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump, okay? Pro-Trump people can be good, smart people. Anti-Trump people could be good and smart people. It's not a sign of your morality or intelligence. It's which flavor of Kool-Aid did you drink? And so I think it's very important that we kind of take the edge off this fear and hatred and say, okay, let's look at this from a little bit more objective and rational. And if you post something rational, loving, objective on social media, it will get no views because that doesn't feed the machine. What feeds the machine is hatred, violence, and whatever. And as long as you're on the right side of violence, your post won't get taken down. It's a weird thing, but I just want to say, maybe people who disagree with you aren't horrible, bad, and wrong. Maybe they've just been told something different. So hopefully that'll help. When I was preparing to do this, I've been working on this for over a year, actually, this idea that I'm now launching today, first episode, it took me a year. I encourage everyone to get started faster. But what I wanted to do is be as rational as possible. But even after I did all my research, I thought I was ready for this episode, I ran some things through Grok. And I tend to trust Grok rather than the other AIs. The only reason is the other ones have proven themselves to be programmed in ways that don't prioritize truth, right? So you may have heard the Google's Gemini, I think it was, when it asked to create an image of the founding fathers of America. It was a multicultural group of women, I believe, which I'm not against. Yay, multicultural women. But it's just not the truth of who founded the United States. And I'm sure multicultural women were involved and whatever. But you get the idea that George Washington was not a black woman, that kind of thing. So if they're programmed to lie, then that kind of negates the value of AI helping us with truth. But I believe at the moment, Grok has been trained towards truth. Doesn't mean it can't be wrong, but it's not intentionally wrong. That's my belief. In fact, I'm such a believer in the idea of finding truth that one of the things I've been doing for a year is working on creating a truth-telling AI that uses Grok, but also uses the others because Grok might miss it and get cross-referencing and all the greatest tools. And so I'm recording this at a moment where it hasn't been launched, but I'm going to ask you to go check it out just in case you're watching this and I have launched it. It's justchecking.ai. So just checking. I'm just checking. Justchecking.ai. That's something I'm launching, which will hopefully be the ultimate truth-telling AI. So the reason I bring that up is before I went to record a couple days ago, I just ran my ideas through Grok, and it beat the tar out of me, saying, no, you're being too conspiracy theorist. You're buying into, you know, inflammatory ideas. And it really beat me down. I didn't enjoy it, right? Because I was all, I want to make a point. So I say this to you to say, with all of my best intentions, I was still caught up in what I would call misinformation or fear-mongering or whatever. And I don't want to. I want to get it right, and I want to be helpful. So just a little note to you. Anything you see on Facebook or anywhere that you see media, like mainstream media, please. Anything that someone tells you, anything you see out there, just run it through one of these programs. And I suggest Grok, and then once mine is launched, it's the best, because it'll use Grok and all the rest. And it is justchecking.ai. But check that out before you go hating on other people, because I believe we can do better than that. Okay, that was my little disclaimer. Here we go. So the next thing on that, as far as the setup is, in the Bible, and you might not be a Bible person, I am. I'm a fully committed Christ follower. I just don't shove it down people's throat. And I'm probably unlike any other Christian you've met. So you may or may not want to just categorize me that way. But in the Bible, there's a cool line. It's in Ephesians. It's the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And it says, in the King James Version, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," which means the enemy is never a person. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I believe that's never been more valid than it is today. So the person is never the enemy. I love all humans. I hate evil behavior. And hopefully that'll help encourage you. Let's begin. So the quote that I started the episode with was from Yuval Noah Harari. He's a brilliant advisor to the World Economic Forum. And I don't get a sense that he's happy about things that are quote unquote wrong. He's just communicating very effectively. And I think he's brilliant. And he could be a, you know, quote, good guy or bad guy as far as how he's behaving. I don't know. But I think he's brilliant. And he's the one who said that the elite see, and I'll read it. He said, humans are, seen as completely irrelevant, useless, meaningless, worthless, and lower than slaves. Well, that doesn't sound very nice. So the question is there a global banking cartel and global cabal that are seeking to rule the earth? And if that's true, why would they want to eliminate people? Why would they want to have 9 billion people? And I think the answer is you can only control so many slaves. And one of the things you want to do, of course, is you want to like castrate the lions, right? And I think that's one of the reasons why there's been, a war against healthy, good, natural masculinity, right? So men see their role largely as being providers and protectors. And so they had to get rid of the provider thing to the best of their ability. The educational system is not made for natural masculinity, in my opinion, and whatever. But I have ADHD, so telling me to sit still as a child, you might as well just shoot me in the head. So I don't think the world is currently set up to elevate the natural, healthy, good masculinity. And then you label all masculinity as toxic, right? So if you're going to behave like a man, you're evil, right? So that's another move in the wrong direction. And then, of course, through chemicals, affect the testosterone level. So right now, I heard, and I haven't checked it out, maybe I'll do an episode, that 25-year-old men have lower testosterone levels than 65-year-old men. Well, that was never the case. Go back a generation. The 25-year-olds had testosterone poisoning. They were maniacs. They were out building and creating and fighting and chasing the girls. Now the guys are happy to sit in their mother's basement and, you know, eating licorice or doing drugs and playing video games and watching some porn. And it's like, you're hiding. Go get out there, put your stake in the ground, build something, make some mistakes, you know? And it just seems like there's been an attack on positive, good, godly masculinity. And I think that would be one of the things, if someone was trying to enslave humanity, you definitely want to get good, godly men out of the way. So I think that's part of it, but we'll take that deeper on another one. One of the greatest whistleblowers of this possible conspiracy to depopulate, and we don't know that it's true, I'm just having this conversation, former Malaysian Prime Minister, his name, I hope I do an okay job, Mahathir Mohamad. He served as Prime Minister in two times for a total of 24 years. So he was in big meetings with big people. He's a Prime Minister of a country, a President of a country, a leader of a country. He was in leadership events. And on March 9th, 2015, he gave a presentation called New World Order, A Recipe of War or Peace. And he said, the intention of this New World Order is to reduce the world population. He said, when the New World Order first enunciated their plan around 1960, he said, the world population was 3 billion. And at that time, they said their plan was to get it down to 1 billion. And then in his speech, he said, given the current world population in 2015 was 7 billion, he said, achieving this will require killing many billions of people, starving them to death, or preventing them from giving birth. Now, you might say, well, maybe he's just mad at somebody. Maybe he was making a political point for his own country and anti-American. He had a strong anti-American stance, which is fine. Everyone has their freedom. So it may be valid, it may not, but that's one of the people that the conspiracy theorists look at as evidence that there is a plan to have a one-world government who depopulates. The next thing I wanted to look at is, when did this depopulation, you know, overpopulation thing really come together? There are whispers of conversations about how many people can the planet sustain, and is the environment good? Those conversations have been going on for maybe, let's say, 200 years. I don't know, for a while, on and off, right? But the real stake in the ground hit with what's called the Kissinger Report, which came out in 1974. And it was his report on overpopulation, including how to depopulate. And he talked about his concern, and I'm going to oversimplify, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm not intending to be in any way inaccurate. The concern was third world countries that were growing in population rapidly. I'll just pick India or something like that as a country that was, you know, the population was skyrocketing and there isn't a ton of money. And so he said, eventually that's going to be, you know, wear and tear on our economy for the United States. And he said, not only that, you know, when there's a lot of people, they can, you know, rile up and cause trouble. So his plan to depopulate, in this report, his suggestions were to depopulate third world countries, not everybody. And he said, but we can't look like we're trying to control the earth, so we have to hide our agenda. What we're going to do is we're going to use U.S., what's called USAID or USAID, which is United States of America International Development Fund, to sneak some money through to some NGOs, and UN will play a part. And so we can pass on our agenda through these other entities, and here's how they'll do it. And so he laid out a game plan there. And it's not my opinion. It's a document that you can look up. Again, it's called the Kissinger Report, Security Study Memorandum 200, and the letters are N as in Norman, SS as in Sam, and M as in McNeil, 200, NSSM 200, also known as the Kissinger Report, 1974. You can look it up. Now, very soon after that report came out, right, in 1975, Wallace Broker publishes a paper that was the birth of the current global warming agenda. He said, global warming linking to CO2 and future climate risks. That came out in 1975. So Kissinger says, we've got a population problem. Then you've got, within 1 year, the birth of the current climate crisis conversation. I just want to digress a bit. Kissinger was quoted on many occasions by many people as having said, who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy controls the whole continent. And he who controls the money can control the world. And we know that there are a group of people who control the money for the world. So we know that. And we know that there are people who are controlling energy, and the climate crisis is giving more power to those who want to control energy. And of course, food supply, we have many movements to control the food supply. Farmers have been under attack for some time now. They're even saying, I heard they were saying that you should not have your own garden. That's an enemy of the world. So you can't have your own garden. You have to eat what they give you, right? And so there's reason to believe there's concerns there. That quote that I just gave to Kissinger, there's an argument as to whether it's valid, just so you know. And some of the versions of that quote included two more factors. So I just want to give you them. So there was food supply, energy, money, but other elements were media and health. And so he said, if you control those five things, you can control the world. Again, food supply, energy, money, media, and health. And I think, you know, all of them are currently being controlled. Now, a guy by the name of Klaus Schwab was a student of Kissinger. And Kissinger had a program at Harvard. And let me see what it was called. Kissinger's International Seminar. It ran from 1951 to 1969. And one of his students was a guy by the name of Klaus Schwab, who founded the World Economic Forum in 1971. And it is said that it is an exact replica, an expansion of Henry Kissinger's Harvard International Seminar. And it became World Economic Forum created something called the Young Global Leaders Program, which is said to be an exact replica and expansion of Kissinger's work. This all may mean something, it may not, but to me, you know, where there's smoke, it just seems that there's a continuing connection between some of these folks. And if you look at the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leaders Program graduates, they are people who are currently leading countries, leading governments, overseeing many key elements of our life. They've all gone through that program. So there you go. So that's I've talked about Yuval Noah Harari, and he's saying they think we're worthless and meaningless. Malaysian former prime minister says they want to depopulate us down to 1 billion. Kissinger had his report out in 1974, which gave birth to the overpopulation conversation and with a strategy of how to depopulate. Wallace Brooker the next year came out with the current global warming climate crisis conversation. That was 1 year after Kissinger. And then we know that Kissinger's work was passed on to the World Economic Forum, and the Young Leaders Program passed on some of these ideas. Beautiful. Or not. Next, I hope you're okay, but I think this is really important because humanity is really important. Next conversation is the one that really sparked this. And this was, you may have heard of it, but in 2010, Bill Gates gave a TED Talk. And his talk was entitled Innovating to Zero. And he showed a formula. So he was showing that CO2 emissions are the problem with climate, you know, global warming, climate crisis. And he said, here's the population. So CO2, right, the CO2 conversation is affected by population times the services that they consume times the energy per service times the CO2 output of that energy. So how many people and how much CO2 do we create? And there's these points where we could have a positive impact. And he said, at least one of these things, people, services, energy, or CO2 has to get close to zero to hit the agenda. And he giggled. So he created this formula to say, we've got to do something about it. Now here's something that I find curious. So he doesn't plant trees. He says he doesn't plant trees. He doesn't believe in that. But we all know that's good for CO2. And we all know that CO2 is good for trees. So we know that trees and CO2, it's not the whole solution, but you know, he doesn't do that. The next thing is when this CO2 thing started, they said the secret would be electric cars. We've got to stop driving gasoline cars. And so you've heard of the company called Tesla, Elon Musk. It was really touch and go. It kind of woulda, coulda, should have gone bankrupt on a number of occasions. And Bill Gates, who says, I'm all about the environment, I'm all about, you know, the right thing, he has a monstrous short position against Tesla, which means he's betting against it. He wants Tesla to fail. But Tesla is the company that answered the global elite's call for a solution to combustion engines. So they say, we need a solution to combustion engines. People can't drive these gasoline cars. Elon Musk and Tesla do it. And Bill Gates, who says he's all about this, is betting against them. He doesn't endorse them. He wants them to fail. Like, that's got to tell you there's something fishy, right? Like, why would he do that? Why would he be against Tesla? And if you say, oh, wait, but electric cars aren't that good for the environment. There's things that, you know, things about electric cars that are a problem. Yes, I agree. And they're working on it. So Bill Gates wants us to give money. He wants to tax the world to go into his strategies. Elon Musk is profitably solving the problem and looking for better solutions all the time. But he solved the first one that they said was impossible. They wanted a miracle. He gave them a miracle. They're betting against him, wanting him to fail. And he did it without taking our money. He earned the money. He generated the money and created a great product. Can it be better? Sure. But I'm a raving fan of what he's done and what he's doing. And he's not taxing us to do it. He's not taking our money to build his businesses. He builds them profitably by creating incredible products. So in my opinion, that is a sign that there may be some disingenuousness on the part of Bill Gates on this. So character matters. Like, you know that if you lie in court, they throw out your entire testimony, right? You can't lie and still be trusted. And so when someone bets against the company that may have done more for the environment than any other, that is a sign that perhaps you're not being honest when you say your agenda is about the environment. Okay, so just saying, not wanting to go deeper on that than I should. But it does call into question what the real agenda is. So here's what Bill Gates said in that presentation. He said, the world today has 6.8 billion. That was in 2010. That's headed up to about 9 billion, he said. We're at 8 now. He said, now, if we do a really good job on new vaccines, healthcare, and reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 to 15%. Now, I just went for the maximum here. So I thought, what is 15% of 9 billion? Well, that's 1.3 billion. Did he say that if we do a great job with vaccines, which are supposed to extend life? Do you understand? A vaccine is, be mindful of the words people use. So a vaccine is supposed to keep more people alive, right? Protect people from illnesses so you don't get something, you don't pass it on. But that's part of his formula for decreasing population. So that's a curious thing that if we just do a great job with vaccines. But it sounds like a good thing to have good vaccines. His next piece of the formula was healthcare. If we just do a great job on healthcare, well, healthcare, according to Johns Hopkins University, I believe, is the third leading cause of death in the world, in America, sorry, the third leading cause of death in America. So if healthcare is killing people, then I understand why that would help decrease the population. But I become curious why you're calling it healthcare if it is the third leading cause of death. And then pharmaceuticals are up there, and vaccines are also on the list of what is killing people. So vaccines, you think, are supposed to help more people be alive. Healthcare is supposed to help more people be alive. And then reproductive health services. Now, reproductive health services sounds like it's helping people reproduce life. But, of course, you know it's not. It's about abortions. It's also about contraceptive. It's also about, what is it? When someone's not able to have sterilization, voluntary sterilization. So all of these three sound like they would increase the population. Vaccines, keeping people healthy from germs and not passing them on, viruses or whatever. Healthcare, which should keep people alive. And reproductive health services should also increase the population. But the real meaning behind them, he says, is going to decrease the population by 10 to 15%. Then when I did my research, it said, no, he wasn't saying depopulate the 9 billion by 10 to 15%. It was the growth between 6.8 billion and 9. So it was the gap of 2.2 billion that he was saying, it's that gap that we could decrease 10 to 15%, which would take his number down to 220 million to 330 million. That said, these are human beings. You know what I mean? We're not talking about chips on a Vegas table. We're talking about human beings. So if you're going to decrease humanity by 220 million people or 300 million people, 330 million people, there's families that are related to those people, right? So I don't think that's cool. Then I was recently shown, it was through a Joe Rogan episode where he had Bernie Sanders on. Bernie Sanders was talking about the end of the world due to climate and so on. And then And then Joe referred to research that just came out, that which is validated, and there's no argument about it, I don't think. They researched the Earth temperature for 485 million years, right? So the past 485 million years. And what's interesting is for 90% of that time, the Earth was way warmer than it is now. Not a little bit, way warmer. So for 90% of the time in the last 485 million years, the Earth has been way warmer, way hotter than it is right now. So that would suggest we're freaking out over something odd. But now I want to summarize this, because it's not that there's a lack of validity, right? That's one of the things that scares me about the way we're being taught to hate on each other. So if someone says, you know, the world is overpopulated, so we have to terminate people or depopulate, whatever, then someone else says, that's hogwash, I'm not going to worry about the environment. Well, then you've gone too far, because there's a valid point there. The amount of CO2 that we're creating is real. I mean, the metrics are all over the place. There's no trusted measurement on temperature change, future implications. Everyone's just making crap up. And I'm not trying to be mean, but there's too many smart people who completely disagree on that for us to have faith in the projections. But the fact is, there is a warming that is man-made, and that it is faster than the trajectory of temperature change up and down over 485 billion years. So for 485 billion years, temperatures moved up and down far more slowly. And what we've done is we've created something where the temperature is moving up quickly. Now, it's only like one degree over a period of time, or less, or whatever. It's not as much as some people who are freaking out would suggest, but it's not nothing. So if the temperature is rising and we're a part of it, and if that has negative implications, it's urgent that we have a rational response. But I don't think the first thing you do is just start terminating humanity to solve the problem. I think you support companies like Tesla, and you do grow trees, and you find solutions. The answer to everything is not tax people more, control people more, and decrease the population. I just think humans, if you're going to stop something, stopping humanity should be the last idea, not the first idea. And it shouldn't be your idea. So here's my summary on the global warming, so far as I can see. The Earth has been much warmer than it is now for 90% of the last 485 million years. Number two, the calculations and projections are widely varied, and there is therefore, at this moment, no trustworthy model that exists to project what's going to happen in the future. Third, we are currently experiencing rapid warming. Number four, we must therefore address this with rational vigilance. And fifth, the first answer should not be depopulation and global control of unelected people with complete immunity and questionable track records. There you go, my friends. That is my thought on the climate crisis. And the answer is always tax, control, and eliminate humans. It's not the answer to everything. Tax, control, and eliminate humans is not the secret to making the world a better place. There we go. Now, finally, we get to talk about what is superhuman. What does that mean? Well, super, the word super in superhuman means above, beyond, or surpassing, right? So above, beyond, and surpassing. Homo sapiens, we are categorized as mammals, like dolphins, elephants, and whales. Traits like having hair, producing milk for the young, and being warm-blooded. There you go. But we're so much more than that. This is not what we are, right? We are infinitely more unique and special than our fellow mammals. And what makes us special, what makes us unique, is our consciousness. Consciousness, unlike anything, our consciousness is a mystery to our scientists. So we can map out the universe, we can go macro and micro, we can have physics, which is the study of time, space, and matter. We can have quantum physics, which is the curious study of time, space, and matter at the subatomic level, which is beautiful and brilliant and really cool. And then you have metaphysics, which is the study of the spiritual, or that which is above, beyond, and surpassing the state of norm. So metaphysics and being a supernatural human are talking about the same thing. So here's my thought on it. You and I, my friend, are extremely special. We are the flickering light of consciousness in a vast, cold universe, and it took 13.8 billion years for us to be created. We're pretty new at a lot of things. We just maybe attained this consciousness less than 10,000 years ago, and I believe that's true. It was just, less than 200 years ago when electricity and stuff was created. And 100 years ago, okay, in 1925, most homes still did not have electricity and running water. And so we're talking about 100 years ago that our current reality was born, like electricity and running water. Like kings and queens, princes of human history didn't have running water in their house. They didn't have our conveniences. We live better than the richest people on earth up until 1900, which is pretty flipping awesome. Electronics like our phones to be able to do all the things that we do, this is all new cool stuff. The internet was just launched on it, I think it was 1980, something like that. So that's 45 years ago. And social media was 2008, something like that. So 13.8 billion years ago, the universe began, so far as they say. We're the only light of consciousness in this universe. And we didn't have running water or electricity 100 years ago. And now we seem to think humanity is disposable. It is not. We're special. Here's what I want to say to you. You and I, my dear friend, we are creative and compassionate spiritual beings in physical form. We are infinitely valuable. We are unique, exquisitely unique, and we're perfect in our personhoods. I'll say this, the quest to enlightenment is not to become something you are not. The quest to enlightenment is to remove everything that you are not, to remove hate and fear, to remove our lower selves, the egoic entrapments. We're pretty special. You are a creative and compassionate spiritual being currently existing in physical form, infinitely valuable, exquisitely unique, and perfect in your personhood. Your natural state is in euphoric, loving connection to divine love and in loving connection to all living things. You're here on purpose with the reason for this season. You're on purpose and you're on schedule. My ask of you and of me is that we unlock the superhuman in us. And for today, my encouragement is, remember how special humanity is. I'll close with a personal note. When I was 45, I met a beautiful young lady. She was only 28, so a lot younger than me. I didn't think I had a chance, but she was beautiful and I couldn't help but try. We fell madly in love, got married. In my life, I was happy for the time that I was with her. My family would say they've only known me happy for a little over 2 years. 1 year after we started dating, we got married. A year and 2 weeks later, she passed away suddenly of a severe brain aneurysm. No warning, she was perfectly healthy. And in the aftermath of losing her, I went into a dark place. You may have experienced tragedy and trauma where you just said, what's the point? Well, I hit a wall and I asked myself and God, is there any reason to stay alive? Is there any reason to live? And I was reminded that I have a purpose, one that I may or may not be clear on, but there's a reason I'm alive. I'm here on purpose. So that helped, but I don't know that I cared. And I ask, is there anything valuable on this earth? And after a lot of thought and meditation, I came to the conclusion that the only thing precious enough on this earth to truly care about is human beings. You and I, my friends, we are the greatest treasure. And the treasure is not what I get from my relationships. The treasure is the relationships. When we reconnect with each other, with ourselves, with our divine source, my friends, we're supernatural. And we have a supernatural impact. Science has not figured out what human beings can't do. We don't know what we're capable of. And that, to me, makes it the most exciting direction to go. How high, how beautiful, how powerful in a good, loving way can human beings be? This is why I've chosen to start this podcast, and this is why I've shifted everything. I shut down everything else I was doing. I want to encourage you and I to ignite the supernatural, the superpowers, the superhuman within us, and to support one another as we together make ourselves, our homes, our families, our communities, and our world a much better place. Thank you so much. Check out our Facebook group, Superhuman Movement. I'll put the link in the description. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I look forward to episode number 2.
We all know that human potential is infinite. We've all heard the phrase, you can do anything you put your mind to. But what if it was more than just a cliche? What if I told you that the things we think are impossible are possible?